Hi, and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. I'm Atik.
And I'm Nyla.
We're both professional registered homeopaths, and between us have over 25 years of professional practice in this field of healing.
The Homeopathy Health Show is the voice of homeopathy on radio and podcasts around the world, promoting and raising awareness of this truly unique system of healing and healthcare, which is suitable for all ages, young and old.
Every week, we invite guests from the world of homeopathy to come and share their experiences, their work, offer insights, and essentially talk all things homeopathy.
Visit www.ukhealthradio.com to listen now. To find out more about us, you can visit us at www.homeopathyinpractice.co.uk. And whilst you are there, do subscribe to our newsletter.
Be inspired.
And join the conversation.
So let's begin today's show here on the UK Health Radio Network, the world's number one talk health radio.
Real feel-good radio.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. And of course, going out on all the major podcast platforms. And I do hope you're well. My name is Atik.
And I'm Nyla. Welcome, everyone.
Now, we have some absolutely phenomenal guests today, okay? But before we go there, hey, ladies and gentlemen, do you want to know some facts about homeopathy? I'm sure you do. So let's go through just a few, okay? First one, remedy synergy. Some advancements in homeopathy mean that things like agri-homeopathy show how remedies can influence plants and crops, improving soil health or plant resilience. Another fact for you is that homeopathy has been used in disaster zones and remote areas where conventional medicine is scarce, providing and proving effective in supporting immune response and resilience. And absolutely, homeopathy is an absolute game changer in, you know, dare I say it, but, you know, disaster zones and where general medicine is, you know, very scarce and hardly available. And the last one is that some modern scientists are exploring, it's funny how that, I said that, isn't it? Some modern scientists, but anyway, some modern scientists are exploring how homeopathy might work through subtle energy fields and vibrations between atoms, a possible link between quantum physics and quantum healing. But I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, today we have something called quantum entanglement. You have your two hosts, Atik and Nyla, and then you have quantum entanglement number two, Denise Strages and Alistair Gray. Now, I am actually going to introduce them. Denise Strages is the president and clinical director of the Academy for Homeopathy in New York. And alongside her, we have Alistair Gray, who is a dynamic educator and a prolific lecturer. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, the best part of all of this, they are our returning guests. They have been on the show previously. I mean, I can't remember what we spoke about, but hey, do tune in and you'll be able to find out. Available on all the podcast platforms. That was a joke. We had a fantastic conversation. It was actually a two-part special as well. So, hey, without further ado, Nyla and I welcome you back. Denise and Alistair, so, so nice to have you on the show.
Thanks for having us. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. Wouldn't have missed it, even with my clamped down, weird, left-sided, locked jaw.
Symptoms. Oh, you'll get better. You are both homeopaths, amazing, incredible homeopaths. So as we started the show, we're not going to go into it, but things can only get better.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know what I remembered is the last time we were on, I fell on the way into my office to record. Do you remember?
Yes,
that?
Yes, I remember.
I stepped on our cat food bowl and did the splits and banged my arm. I had a whole thing today.
I remember that.
Yeah. You know, it's a strange thing.
I hope
thing,
it doesn't become a ritual.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah.
It was Alistair's turn this time. Wait till you come back for part three. We'll be doing it from A&E. We'll all be there.
Yeah. We'll just set up there just in case.
Hello.
Just in case. The podcast is coming. Yeah. What's going to happen now?
All right. Well, let's keep it safe. And what's the other word that goes with safe? I don't know. Seemly or something like that. You mentioned Staphylococcus aureus 10M. Just before you press the button, can I tell you a Staphylococcus aureus 10M story?
Oh, please do share.
Just to get us going. Back in the day, I lived in Sydney in Australia, and I was employed in the 90s to fly back and forth, in the later 90s to fly back and forth to New Zealand to teach at one of the taught at a few of the homeopathy schools there. And I was very friendly with the head of the school, whose name was Gwyneth Evans, and she was married to this genius from Philadelphia, Julian Winston. And Julian Winston packed up, found his love of his life, packed up, went to New Zealand, and that's where I met him, late 90s. And I must have gone across that ditch 1,000 times to teach homeopathy. But once I got there and I was off. And when I say off, I was crook, like a dog's hind leg, if you know you're Australian. I wasn't well. And Gwyneth said, "Look, let me take your case." And I said, "Okay." And we had a long chat about what was going on. And she said, "I've got the remedy for you." And I said, "What is it?" And she said, "I'm going to give you Staphylococcus aureus 10M." And she went away into the back of the house and rummaged around for a while. And she came out with this thing. And she opened it up and opened it up. And I said, "What is that?" And she said, "This is James Tyler Kent's remedy kit from
Oh
1890."
my God, wow.
And she pulled out Staphylococcus aureus 10M.
Oh my goodness.
Magic. Absolutely brilliant response for me. Says something about use by dates on homeopathic remedies, doesn't it?
Yeah, it
But
does.
that was that that's you know that was you know 90 years between 100 years between remedy manufacture and very nice response.
But
Anyway, there's
I have a question for you on that. Did you ask that follow-up question, which we would all ask? Where did you get the kit from? How?
Oh, that's an easy one because Julian Winston was one of the great collectors. He wrote the book Faces of Homeopathy in 2000. It's a great history of homeopathy from mainly a Northern American perspective. That there's a couple of great chapters on how homeopathy spread around the world, what went on, Quinn, the UK, blah, blah, blah. But it's mainly, American oriented. And he was in the right place at the right time when Boracay and Tuffel, the big pharmacy, shut down their Philadelphia office and moved. Did they move west? What happened, Dee?
No, well, they were acquired, right? So part of
Did they standard homeopathics bought them?
Ethics, and now
Yeah.
they're part of Boron. But this, can you see this cabinet in behind me? I mean, I know
Yes.
if you're you can't see it. That's from the original Boracay and Tafel. That's
Wow.
yeah, that was gifted to me last year, 2 years. I don't know, maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah, a
Wow.
couple of years back. But
Not enough. That's a gift,
Julian
isn't it?
was the Johnny on the spot because he heard that Boracay and Tuffel were closing, went downtown and looked, and they were literally throwing gold out the windows. And he just collected everything, got climbed into the skip and got a truck and loaded up his truck and took it back to the firehouse that he lived in. And that was the beginning, I think, of his collection of homeopathic memorabilia and a great library, which is still around to this day.
Wow.
Well, actually, so the funny thing about this is, so, you know, he was here in Philadelphia, and then he married someone in New Zealand. He moved to New Zealand with his collection. And then after he died, the collection came back here to the United States. And it went to the Nisswander collection. They are that, and so that was part of standard homeopathics that we were just talking about. And then when they closed, it went to the archives, the Drexel University archives, 2 miles from where we live. And anything that was a duplicate there came to us. And so we have all of the duplicates. So that Hahnemann painting behind Alistair's head, we got
Yeah.
all these journals and books. So we're like the homeo hoarders. But it's interesting that it came back to, you know, the United States. And then Al, as a Kiwi, comes to Philadelphia. So it's like
Hey,
we've
you
just
should,
swapped.
Denise, you should open a mini museum for the weekend.
So we want to
Yeah.
actually. So if anybody wants to give us
We need
$4 million,
4 million.
we need $4 million. Actually, this is a plan, right? So our charity is we would love we since we saw you last, we finally launched this program in palliative and end of life care in homeopathy. It's the first of its kind. So we've done a whole bunch of things around it, but the short thing is that one of our graduates who works in our clinic, she really has it in her mind to start an on-site palliative care like a hospice house, using homeopathy, and have it be enough so that we can have a library, have the collections there available to people, and to have on-site seminars, like in the same way people go to do intensives, like in Africa with Jeremy and Camilla and so forth. We want to be able to do the same thing here. So anybody who's got, we'll take 2 million, but 4 million is what the budget is. We'll
Okay.
start with two.
And the benefit of that is that then we can knock on the door of John Morgan and the lockup, which I think is in Swindon. Is it in
Yes.
or Slough? No, you're in Slough.
Tunbridge Wells.
Well, I mean, he's in Tunbridge Wells, but the lockup where all of the Hahnemann memorabilia in the UK.
Yeah, like the bed is there.
Hahnemann's bed.
Yeah, Hahnemann's bed.
We are going to be talking to John soon, so I think I'm going to go around.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need Hahnemann's bed, please.
Yeah.
Can we borrow it just for a couple of
Nice. I can smell dust mites.
Yes.
days? Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
that's amazing. Because
Anyway, that's a little bit of, I
No,
don't know,
thank you. Thank you
story to
for
get us going.
thank you for
Yeah, I'm
sharing.
looking forward to anyone who has 4 million or even 1 million, and four people who have 1 million each, they can call you and yeah, donate. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
We're a
Well,
designated charity. We are. We've had a, yeah, we've had our
tax
charity
deductible.
10 years. It's tax deductible.
I think when you actually said 4 million, I thought I was just going to take it back and say maybe don't have the
Yeah.
But what happens is, if the thought is there, if you have given it to the
Yeah.
universe, that will happen.
Exactly.
But
That's true.
actually, we take smaller steps than that. I mean, as a registered charity, as Denise mentioned, we take small donations, and we get a lot of donations that keep our research work just moving forward step by step. We've got lots of projects on the go. And I think really, is that kind of the direction for today? I mean, we could tell
Actually,
stories about the old
there is
days.
something we wanted to talk about, which where we're going to go through a lot of things, including introducing homeopathy, the film, and maybe some AI. But we wanted to just
Touch up
take this moment, Naila and I.
the Institute of Advancement of Homeopathy that we started with. We,
Yes.
if you can
Yeah.
just touch upon that, and then we'll move on to
Yeah. But
what.
just before that, Naila and I, and the listeners of the Homeopathy Health Show. Why are you laughing?
Because I love the way that you go still and quiet and a
Build
very
up the
sophisticated use of your
momentum.
voice. It's very good. It's very good radio. I tell you what, magnificent.
It is. I like it.
Naila and I, and no, I can't
Hostage
talk.
negotiator.
Naila and I, this is the third time. This is like a bidi moment, isn't it? That's all, folks. But on behalf of the Homeopathy Health Show and all the listeners and all the homeopaths around the world and all the students, we wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you to you and to show our greatest and utmost respect and honor because of what you do, because of who you are, and all the service that you do for homeopathy. And you're always smiling and laughing, and you make it fun, and you make homeopathy, you give that zeal and that buzz to homeopathy where you think, do you know what? I just want to talk to them. I just want to know them. I want to learn from them. So thank you very much.
Aw, aw,
Thank you.
aw, shucks.
Oh,
no, thank you very much.
That's
It was
really lovely. Thanks.
No, we
yes,
mean
I
it. We really absolutely mean it, don't we, Nyla?
yeah, it's like li people who live homeopathy, they deserve to be thanked.
The station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, this thing we call homeopathy, it's kind of, you know, if you look back on your life, it's dominated my life, and it's brought me a whole lot of joy, and including found me the best thing in my life, which is Denise. And it's been a journey, and mostly marvelous. And so thanks for saying.
No, absolutely. I think, you know, I know this is going to sound a bit funny when I say it like this, maybe not funny, but odd, let's say. But, you know, when you're a homeopath and you've done, let's say, hand on your heart with the right intention, you've done the best you can die in peace because you did the best you could, right, for helping others, service to humanity, right?
Yeah. Yes, I'm going to mostly agree with that.
Well, okay. Basically, on Hahnemann's headstone, I have not died in vain.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This is what God brought me to homeopathy. I was thinking, okay, I'm raising a family, I'm raising kids, but am I here just for this? We're just going to die. And yeah, there was a person, yes, there was a mom, she raised us and done. This, everyone does that. Mm. If I am here today thinking about it, there must be a reason. And that took me to homeopathy because I was using homeopathy. I was seeing homeopathy doing wonders. And exactly at that time, my son's eczema got healed with homeopathy. Mm. I'm using the word healed because it got healed.
We all know what the real word is.
You can say whatever you want to say, but I'm using the word because it happened. And that took me to homeopathy, and I've never looked back. It's just... every day is another day where I just want to go and explore and do homeopathy.
Oh my gosh. It's so true. It is. It's just like, it's exciting. The work is exciting. And like always, there's always some question to ask. There's something new to find. You know, one of the things I love about teaching is that, so our school, AHE, so we've, our latest intakes, it's the 30th and 31st cohorts to go through, which means that we've taught the whole curriculum through like 28 times finished already, plus not to mention, you know, like teaching in other places, whatever, but like when you do it over and over again, each time is new and different. And like, you can ask another question of the material and you can see it at another level. And it just like, I don't know. It's just, it's magical, really.
Because we've been doing this a long time. I'm probably coming up maybe almost 30 years since I kind of taught my first class. And one of the most striking things for me is that, because, you know, both Denise and I studied with Misha in the School of Homeopathy in the Greenfields, Devon, back in the day. And
that's Nyla's school, by the way.
Really? Oh, there you go.
I've studied from the School of Homeopathy, and I'm working with Luke.
Nice. But you see, you know, growing up in the, well, I suppose having those formative years and clinical years, I often reflect on the fact that I looked around in my classroom and everyone, we call them, was a dirty hippie. Like, our class was full of dirty hippies. You know what I'm saying? Back in the late 80s, the early 90s. It's like, these days, here I am teaching the pulsatilla lecture or the, I don't know, the lecture on case management, fundamentals of case management. And we don't have one. It's like, where are they all gone? I mean,
they're dirty hippies.
Yeah. So what it says to me is that the people that are attracted to homeopathy are completely different to 30 years ago, 20 years ago, I'm going to say 10 years ago. And that demographic is changing very, very quickly. The users of homeopathy, their expectations, the questions I ask, the smarts that they have, plus then what happens in the classroom is completely different. And so, you know, just it's never the same. It's always different. The stone is always rolling, and it's endlessly stretching, you know?
Yeah, as long as it's not the little thing that whatever his name was spins in Inception.
That thing. I know what you're talking about.
You know that little thing. I don't know. It's just, he spins a thing and he comes into reality when it's a dream and it's not. And then he's sub-level dreams. Anyway, totally digressed.
I hear as well, because in my group, there was a doctor, medical doctor. There was a cancer nurse. There was a software engineer. And then I was a nutritionist. Like, we all came, not only we were from different professional backgrounds, we were coming from very different cultural backgrounds as well.
Yes.
Such a diverse group, and we loved connecting and sharing. And then we brought in all the knowledge that we have acquired from our profession as well as culture. And that made the remedy picture, the philosophy diverse as well, when we were soaking everything in. That is the beauty of modern world as well. Like, we are seeing it in a different way.
Well, for the most part, digital technologies have really helped us. You know, it means that we can do this. We can engage, you know, you're 5 years, 5 years ahead, 5 hours ahead.
Well, actually, maybe 5 years.
Maybe 5 years.
I'll go with that one.
And so, the 21st century, I think, is for the most part, a really great thing, which has augmented what we do. You know, clinically, we don't do physical examination so much. You know, in the United States, we just don't. You know, I know that in other parts of the world, there is physical examination curriculum time devoted to ensuring best practice. But say in the US, that has meant that it's easily the best complementary therapy to teach from a soulful use of technologies, and nothing is really missing. I love that aspect of what we do. Yeah,
it's so homeopathy is so progressive, isn't it? I mean, just take any remedy, right? 250 years ago, proven by Hahnemann, and today that same remedy is just having such a massive impact. And it's like 200 odd years, whatever, you know. But it's so progressive, right? And even the new diseases are now. I was having this conversation with Nyla that nature has gifted us. And we don't realize the potential of some of the plants or minerals or whatnot, you know. But as new diseases come, if we can call them new diseases, or new diseases progress, or whether they're contained and given a title, because the question is, they may have always been there, but just not recognized, like epilepsy, for example. But anyway, and it's only then that you realize how intricate the healing properties of a substance are. And it's just mind-boggling, isn't it, Nyla? Because we talk about this all the time, and it's like we're down a rabbit. Even today we were talking about something, and she said, or last night, and it was like, this is a rabbit hole, stop. Just stop. It's too much. It's too heavy, you know?
It's just 2 hours to go to bed. Stop it here.
Well, I think there is so much that captures our attention. But I think also, you know, the fact that we've been around for 230 years in our current form means that we are resilient and we are deserving of study. And so, you know, that's the thing that Denise and I have kind of just looked at each other in the eye and agreed upon. It's like, that's where we're going to put our stick in the sand, and that's what we're going to do. And, you know, and like Denise said, there's so many questions. Well, let's not have an opinion about them, because there's too many opinions in life. Let's actually do some good, solid, slow, methodical research that's rigorous, using a good method, and answer some of those questions. And so, you know, I suppose that's the other part. You know, we run a school, a kick-ass school, but at the end of the day, we also drive this research initiative. And so, you know, how about I continue, get into a bit of that? Because, you know, if we look around at the changing demographic and the behaviors of, we call them the super mums, and the home educators in North America, we see and we hear stories about some alarming practices relating to homeopathy. Not all good. And I suppose really maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, I started to hear about this AI thing, you know, and I thought to myself, oh, like everybody, it's going to take away my job. And then, you know, that's always the first port of call, isn't it? And you spend a bit of time there and you go, are you kidding? No, that's ridiculous. Because you start to read around the large language models and artificial intelligence and realize that if used really well, these can be your friend. These can be your research assistant. These can be your clinical assistant, right? These tools. And so, you know, what I'm setting up is the fact that it seems that in homeopathy, AI is used by clinicians, and we don't know anything about the way in which clinicians are using AI, but we just know that they are. And then the more alarming part is that we know that mums in particular are Googling their kids' symptoms and saying what remedy to give. And then, of course, because, you know, if you make a call or send through the request to the pharmacy is just going to put it in a bag and send it. And we just start to see, and we are the canary in the coal mine, I have to say that. Denise, in particular, with her clinical work and the sheer number of people coming through the homeopathy help network that we run, number of people coming through means that we are seeing some things that we never, ever saw before. Like back in the day, like Nyla, you will remember that there was the School of Homeopathy, and then there were the practical people on the other side of the country that ran a school somewhere, and they were weird and we didn't understand what they did. Or I don't know, that's what it felt like. It was a kind of a conversation, and it seemed that they're just applying homeopathy in a different way. As we go into the 20th century, we saw the rise of sensation method, the use of the periodic table, the maps of nature, to find clinical options that were not able to be found previously just using conventional Hahnemannian homeopathy. And I think, and while there was a conversation around, oh, my method's better than your method, at the end of the day, no one was ever concerned about safety, were they? You know? If a remedy is chosen by sensation method or by Bernninghausen method, is anyone concerned about the safety of the child or the user?
Well, we didn't have to be concerned about the safety, because in all of the years that, you know, we've been running clinical training programs, which is, you know, it's like exponential to what you see if you're just seeing clients in your own clinic. We never saw anybody. We might see people had an aggravation or they weren't happy with their outcome. But what we see today is 180 degrees away from that. But can I tell you something I saw recently along these lines? We're seeing people who come in now to the clinic, not just with like a list of the remedies that they've taken, but spreadsheets. I saw a kid who had taken between 1,000 and 1,500 doses of homeopathic remedies in less than a year and
That's bonkers, isn't it?
It's totally, but it's not unusual, because people are now, they're taking these, like a protocol. So instead of taking a remedy for, you know, whatever, and assessing its outcome, which is what we do, no matter how you come to it, what you learn as a homeopath is give a remedy, assess the outcome. Now they're giving This kid was taking sometimes 15 to 20 doses of different remedies inside of a week. So it might be a protocol with a detoxification component to it that has between two and five remedies in it, which could include a nozode or a totopathic remedy, like made from a medicine, and taking several of them at the same time. How, and now these poor kids are, and the moms are desperate. So in the same way that Nyla comes to homeopathy because she saw the outcome with her child, I was a homeopath before. I was studying homeopathy before having children. It came in the opposite direction for me. I was really glad it did work, but like it wasn't. What we're seeing now is totally different. It's not even what I could have imagined. Like Atik, your face, for those who are not
Thanks
watching
very much. That's the end of that episode. Okay,
your
thanks.
eyes
We're
were
ending
like
the show
cartoon.
early today.
Oh my gosh.
That
Anyway,
shining face.
so
Yeah,
that's
you had
what
an interesting look on your face when Denise said that, you know. And
Have you ever seen that in your practice? Somebody who comes to having taken 1,000 doses of a remedy in
no,
a short.
that's a lot. I don't even know what to say to that. That's a
Yeah,
lot. Because
there was
we
recently a case that we both saw, and they came from taking not 1,000 remedies, but mixtures of four remedies, as in morning, evening, night, like four remedies mixed in one, four remedies mixed in one. And yeah, this
And th
and
this was long term, wasn't it, Nyla?
yeah, and that was for and that was like the d disease was progressive, and it kept on progressing. It was just masking the symptoms. It was just what we were what is being done in normal medicine, actually, or every time when we are taking those medicine, masking paracetamol, masking the fever.
It's exactly it. It is using substances in potency. We don't even call them homeopathic remedies if they're used in these ways, because it's only homeopathic if it's used according to the principles, right? So they're using substances in potency according to allopathic principles. It's the same. It's the same
You
thing.
know this, Denise. Denise and Alec takes me on to something else. Actually, just flowing literally on that. Only yesterday, again, cool. We have a lot of conversations, right, Nyla and I. But seriously, Nyla, weren't we just talking about Facebook and prescriptions? It's like, how do you stop people? People come out with just like, I've got a terminal this, or I've got this and that. And what's the prescription? Or what can homeopathy help me? That's usually the question, okay? Or is there something in homeopathy that can help? And then you've got some sensible replies, and then you've got yes, Natmure CM, and then you've got Gunpowder 200, and it's like, well, hang on, calm down. You haven't even asked how old they are. You haven't even asked their name. You can't just go into it like this. You gotta, process, right?
So you get it, and it's really interesting to hear that you're starting to see that as well. And that's the thin end of the wedge, isn't it? When you get your first and second and then 10th, kind of scary new thing that's coming towards you. Anyway, one of the ways that we've attempted to deal with it is by kind of testing to see if AI was actually any good. Was it going to assist us? Because we know that this is what's going on in various parts of, say, North America, and I'm sure broader as well. And what we did is we broke it down into nine specific questions. And so the first question was, let's do a retrospective study and let's take 100 cases where we know that the human that gave a homeopathic remedy had a positive clinical response as measured by MyCore. And MyCore is a validated outcome measure that looks at the first and the second symptom and well-being and scores it. And so, in a situation, a study was included in our research where there was evidence of some sort of improvement. And so we then entered those clinical details into a remedy finder, and there's a number of remedy finders on the market. Remedia, I think, is one. Homeopathic House Call is another one. And there's a few of them.
These are referred to as built for purpose models, right? So built for purpose meaning experts have designed this system theoretically based on homeopathy knowledge, right? Which is different than what I was going to next talk about, which is large language models, which is like your ChatGPT, which are just going from what they can source from whatever sources they sketchy sources they pull from the internet.
Exactly.
Now the commercial products, they usually I mean, I believe for liability purposes, make recommendations. Well, based on this information, you could think about these five remedies, right? Mm-hmm. And when we looked at the and did the statistics on the remedy that was chosen by the human being as compared to those list of five, the number was that in only 56% of instances was the remedy given by the human being given in those top five. Mm. And only in, Denise, I'm going to say 23?
No.
Was it 17? No, it's 17. Yeah, only in 17% of instances was the top remedy suggested by that finder, that remedy finder, the same as the human homeopath.
17% of the time it found the same. But that's not even the crux of it. I mean, because if what we learned from the folks on our research team who are actually doing the work is if you ask the same question again, 5 minutes later, you get a different answer. Ask it 10 minutes later, completely different answer. And then it makes up logic if you question it. And it makes up terminology that if you didn't know, what was the one, Al, about pulsatilla? Remedy saturation. Like, what's remedy saturation? You know, it like made up this term about why it was recommending a remedy. Anyway.
Oh, I had one with AI. I asked for a citation for something. Can I look for a citation? And it gave me a brilliant citation that I was looking for. And it was like, I never heard this citation. I asked, from where did you get it? Can you give me the source? He said, I made it up for you because you wanted one.
Yeah. I was looking at.
Oh my gosh!
We spoke about this as well. Do you remember? I was looking at the references for Kent and the rubrics, and it gave me all these with the sources, right? So AI comes up with a few things, right? And I was talking to Nina Brand. She said, "Hang on, have you checked these? Can you check them?" So we went into different softwares to check the rubrics for Kent. None of them matched.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
The station that makes you feel good.
They were very wishful rubrics, actually.
Yeah.
it's just like, I don't know, is it made up? Is it just some sort of confusion?
Well, large language models need to give you an answer, so they do. And the correctness of it is irrelevant. Or, as Denise says, different 10 minutes later and very different from the country that you are entering the data into, which is another point. And so You know, I think, you know, what I've tried to describe to you is the first study. We're doing a second one now on the large language models, and the number is 17% overlap with the human beings. So those are the retrospective studies. And they, to me, suggest, what do they suggest to you? That it's early days to be using AI for homeopathy. And the major thing which has really come out of it is just the references, the sources of information are mainly blogs. So the information is coming from like very sketchy, you know, trawling Facebook groups or trawling information that's certainly not the primary source material. And really, you know, kind of scary stuff from our point of view.
It's such a big problem because with the newer students of homeopathy, we live in a connected world, right? We're all mobile literate, aren't we? We're all social media literate as such. You know, whether we want to be or not is a different question. But it's interesting because they are going to go that route whether we like it or not. But the crux is how to bring them back and to educate that, look, you've got a model, no matter how good it is. Okay, fantastic, right? But it's still a tool. The artist is you, the human with the soul, right? You are the artist, right? You have to think. Give it substance, make it tangible. AI is not going to give you something tangible. You have to feel. There may be just a few indicators, right, which can totally change, I don't know, carcinosin to tuberculinum, right? But you need to know them, right? And you can't just go with, well, this is the book and it says that. Use yourself. Otherwise, what's the point of studying, right? We spend years of it living, talking, sleeping homeopathy.
But on the other hand, you know, you've got to also empathize with a student that's just turned up at school. Maybe they've made a decision to go study and they don't know. They don't know the difference between Fatac and Boricke or, you know, a secondary source, you know, like a more modern Materia Medica. I think those come with time in the classroom, time with teachers and nuanced and critically thinking conversations.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. I have a proposal to make. This is my proposal.
What's your proposal?
Okay. So this is going out to the whole homeopathy world.
After the $4 million or before the $4 million?
This is to validate why we need $4 million, maybe. Yeah, right. I take it back.
No, I don't. Come back.
Okay. I have been thinking about something because this sort of the new trends in homeopathy, which is anyone who's got a ring light can start a school. Like you don't need any experience now. You just need a social media presence and you're selling. If you can sell stuff, you can sell kits with medicine in them that people give to sick children. Like that's where I draw the line. Like for me, we have a moral and ethical responsibility to give parents informed consent about the medicine they give their children. And if they don't understand the consequences of this medicine, then we are all implicated in that disservice, right? Okay, so with that in mind, I think we've done ourselves a disservice. I think we're too apologetic as homeopaths. I think we kind of come to this like, oh, nobody believes that our medicine works. And if you come from the standpoint that nobody believes our medicine works, no one's going to think about it works really well and a lot. And if you do too much of it, you can have a problem. Like you can't have it both ways. And so I propose, world, like it's Friday afternoon over here. I'm all
Ladies
about this.
And gentlemen, we have an announcement to make here on the Homeopathy Health Show.
We need like one of those bugle emojis, right? We took ourselves seriously.
Welcome back after the break, and we still have that very important announcement with Denise
She's
Sages.
Still talking. Okay, if we took ourselves seriously, right, and we say like to really like anybody can learn the basics of homeopathy in a weekend. That's beautiful. You should be able to take care of a bee stings, a vomiting child, whatever. But when it comes to the miracle of what homeopathy can do, you don't get to make a miracle for free without studying. Like there's a reason home dentistry never took off.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Home podiatry. Like you get the kit with the clippers and that's as far as it goes.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
So, don't touch me nails.
Exactly.
And don't cut them either.
Like women go to somebody to get a good pedicure. Like if you really want a good pedicure, you're going to a professional who has to have a certain number of hours administering a pedicure. And yet people are going on Facebook to treat children with autoimmune disease. Like, my head explodes. Right?
And I also think not only people who treat, people who go to Facebook for help for their autoimmune.
Yes.
Even if my child has 104 degrees fever,
yes,
I want to know what the reason is. I want to go to the professional who knows what he is giving me, rather than going to face. And I don't know what is behind the face. Could be anything. Mm. Could be,
yeah, could be a bot.
Could be a bot even nowadays.
Exactly.
Just giving me the answers. And what I do as a mother, I actually listen to them and then go and administer the remedy and go back and say, oh, this didn't help. Oh, or this started happening, or my child had a seizure. What do I do now? Who do I go to? Who is responsible? So in that case, if I have someone I have turned to, I had a consultation, even an acute consultation, if something happens, I am going back to them, asking them, okay, this was the response. What do I do next?
Yeah. Oh my God. I love you. Can I come to your house?
You can come to my house every day.
Yeah, come over. Come over.
We can move over. I don't mind.
Okay. We're coming over.
We'll all meet there.
This is the most important thing, isn't it? Because homeopathy, it's like built around materia medica now. It's like, how much, as an educator, how much materia medica can you stuff in their face? It's not about that. A homeopath, Al gets mad when I say this, so I'll hold off on the thing that I say just to get him. I'll tell you in a sec. I know. But it's about the action of the remedy and being able to assess what happened. So if you give 42 of them, how do you know what, you don't know what to do to get them out of a problem if it happens.
Exactly.
You know?
So what's your recommendation? You said that you had an announcement. So you had a rant, but what's the announcement?
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we have an announcement.
We still have an announcement.
Oh, no.
We are waiting.
I think that the announcement is kind of about, the rant and the announcement are kind of the same. It's like, if we took ourselves seriously, then there's a lot involved in taking yourself seriously. There's accountability, right? Like Nyla is saying, you have to be able to, if you are making a recommendation, you have to be able to follow it up. And part of what, like, our research office is doing is collecting data to say, is what we're doing safe and effective, right? So we've had our clinic, we see thousands of cases, right? So we have, whether you're looking at it from acute or chronic prescribing, between 83 point something or 84 point to 86 point something, movement in a positive direction. So anytime a case comes through our clinic, we are measuring that outcome. And these are students in supervision for the most part, right? And so we know that we are safe and effective because we are asking this question and validating it every single time. But if you're just like, if we don't, as a community of homeopaths around the world, take ourselves seriously enough to have educational standards, certification standards, accountability, like it feels to me like the lack of rigor is a direct response to thinking that it doesn't matter. I think we have to change our tune. You know what I mean? Because people say, oh, you can't make a living as a homeopath. Well, you can. But now you totally can. If you do a good job, you've got a stream of people waiting for you, right? If you don't do a good job, then you resort to selling stuff and trying to monetize and build it as an MLM. Yeah. It's not the same, you know?
You know, it's very beautiful what you said, because now that you've made the announcement, dun-dun-dun-dun.
And now our announcement has ended. Yeah.
Very, very close to me as well, what you're saying, because we will be getting what we are sending out. If we think this is going to be my passion, I'm going to help people will be drawn to me. If I come from a point of view where I am not sure my remedies are working, or my, as Kent says, if you are not sure about the poison that is in your hand is able to kill someone,
yes,
are you going to use it to heal someone?
Yes,
like that. I have to believe in that in order to make this happen.
Tell everybody that. We just said that on our podcast recently, Kent's lecture on Heparsulf, right? It's exactly. Nyla, say it again. You're preaching to the choir.
Say it again.
We are running a Facebook group, and I tell you, I've just had a rant on the group as well. Someone was saying, homeopathy is very expensive and we have to feed our kids organic food, etc., and pay the bills and this. And then I go back and think, okay, what are you preaching your kids? don't take care of yourself because you don't have the money. If you are not taking care of yourself means your kids are not going to take care of themselves when they are the mothers or they are the fathers. So prioritize. We go, as you mentioned, podiatrists, no one, a few people only do their hair at home. They go to a hairdresser to have it cut. Otherwise, it's so uneven and they don't want to have an uneven hairstyle ever.
I didn't even, one I didn't strand even, hair, I didn't one even strand comb hair. Mine. I didn't even comb it.
Company excluded. Pressing
wait a minute. Oh my God.
I'm sure they're not asking AI how to cut my hair.
I do hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Homeopathy Health Show. Tune in every week for inspiring conversations, bringing you all things health and well-being to your radio and podcast apps.
The more exposure the Homeopathy Health Show receives, the better for homeopathy around the world.
And please do support the show by clicking follow on our socials.
You can find us at www.homeopathyinpractice.co.uk and on Facebook and Instagram at Homeopathy in Practice. Do give us a follow on there. Let's promote the voice of homeopathy around the world together. Until next time, stay safe and take care.